Dr. William Luther Pierce. The year 2000. Faustian spirit and political correctness.
Hello. When I was 7 years old, I asked for and received my first chemistry set as a Christmas gift. It became the basis for a little laboratory I had in the garage from then until the time I went away to military school 8 years later. Even before my first chemistry set, I prowled through curbside trash heaps in my neighborhood looking for discarded radios, which I would take home and disassemble completely, trying to figure out how they worked. At six, I didn't understand much, but I was fascinated by every sort of technological gadget. Later, the fascination extended to tools and weapons of every kind. I think it was an instinctive thing which I inherited from my tool-making ancestors of a million years ago, who inherited it from their tool-using ancestors of 5 million years ago. When I was 12 years old, I discovered science fiction, and from then on I knew that I wanted to be an astronaut and explore other worlds. That was a long time before Sputnik or manned spaceflight. And before there was a real possibility for me to become an astronaut, circumstances had compelled me to choose another career instead. But I nevertheless have continued to follow the progress of space exploration and always have taken some pride in the fact that I worked for a while in Caltech's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where many recent space missions have been planned, and the hardware for those missions has been designed. I've thought often about the role of the tool-making instinct in the history and prehistory of our race, and I have associated this instinct with a more general characteristic of our people, which I, and others also, have called the Faustian spirit. That's the spirit which drives us not only to build things and to invent things, but to explore and to try to understand ourselves and the world around us. It is a spirit which makes us seek power not just for the sake of mere power, but also for the sake of progress, for the sake of building new things. It leads us to conquer not merely for the sake of conquest, but also to improve and develop that which we conquer. It leads us to value truth over and above any practical value that truth may have, to value knowledge above any monetary gain that knowledge may yield. Thinking about these things led me long ago to the conclusion that it is this Faustian spirit which, more than any other trait of our people, led us to become masters of the whole world by the beginning of the last century. Some of the races of Asia are clever enough, the Chinese and the Japanese, the Jews, the Indians, but their cleverness has a different flavor from that of our people. We Europeans always have been the preeminent explorers and innovators, the people who explored because we wanted to learn more, not just because we thought there might be some money in it for us. Neither the Faustian spirit nor the fascination with tools is universal among our people, of course. The Faustian spirit is essentially a masculine spirit, and it often is at odds with both the feminine spirit and the mercantile spirit. When our society is virile and forward-looking and willing to take chances, the Faustian spirit is dominant. When virility is in decline and we become more interested in comfort and self-indulgence and security and conformity, then the Faustian spirit in us, in our society, in our civilization, also is in decline. Well, everything I've said so far today is by way of introduction to a couple of really depressing illustrations of the decline in virility in that segment of our society that in healthier times was on the cutting edge of our climb upward toward the stars and was the purest embodiment of our Faustian spirit. And that is our scientific academic segment, the seekers of knowledge and understanding. Let's begin with something everyone has heard about very recently, the mapping of the human genome, which is to say the determination of the sequence of the amino acid building blocks in the long strands of human genetic material that determine what we are. That is certainly a grand and worthwhile project, even if it is more a massive application of technology than a scientific breakthrough. And to me, it really is depressing to have to note that some of the people involved in this grand project are so much in the grip of political correctness that their ability to do meaningful or valid science is in real doubt. One of the actors in the genome mapping project is J. Craig Venter, who is the president of a biotechnology company called Celera Genomics Corporation. Mr. Venter and his company hope to make lots of money from their genome mapping work by selling the results to pharmaceutical companies. And Mr. Venter also wants to be very sure that his company is in the forefront of political correctness as well as biotechnology. At a White House ceremony just a few days ago, in which several of the Genome Project's leaders met with Bill Clinton to make a public but somewhat premature announcement of the completion of the project, Venter used the occasion to tell the world that his company had used DNA from 5 individuals in its mapping work, and among those 5 were a mestizo, a black, an Asian, and a white. The choice of DNA donors had been made, he said, and I quote, out of respect for the diversity that is America and to help illustrate that the concept of race has no genetic or scientific basis, end of quote. Really? Blacks are not blacks for genetic reasons, but because of poverty and discrimination, I suppose. Or to be really correct, blacks are different from us only because of white racism, not because their genes are different. That's about as silly and anti-scientific a statement as I have heard in this silly era. It's what one might have expected from the late Carl Sagan or some of the other Jewish pseudo-scientific gurus of political correctness who spend much more time in front of the TV cameras propagandizing the couch potatoes than they spend in the laboratory. But it really is depressing to hear that coming from the head of a cutting-edge biotechnology firm. Perhaps Mr. Venter figures that his show of political correctness will help him garner a government grant. Anyway, any errors introduced into his part of the genome mapping because of his insistence that no differences be found among the genomes of the various races can be corrected later by objective researchers. But it is really disappointing that none of these objective researchers had the courage to speak up or even to laugh after he made his silly statement at the White House. Well, I suppose that's no worse than the situation we had in the Middle Ages, when the priests would awe the peasants with the announcement that some statue in the church had been seen to weep real tears or to bleed from nail holes in its hands or feet, and the scientific-minded citizens would bite their lips in order to avoid laughing. In those days, politically incorrect laughter could get a person burned at the stake. But really, it's a shame that we haven't made more progress in that regard during the past few centuries. Or to state the case more precisely, it's a shame that we seem now to be sliding back toward the climate of superstition and fear and political correctness which prevailed at times in the past. Another illustration of this sort of thing is the teaching of black history in our schools. Historians who know better bite their tongues and are afraid to contradict the politically correct charlatans who make the most laughable claims about black achievements and black inventiveness. The charlatans get the promotions and the textbook contracts, and those who laugh at the charlatans get fired. Well, one of these days, will return to sanity, hang the charlatans, redo the genome research, and rewrite the history textbooks. There are other academic and scientific areas where the harm being done by political correctness has more immediately lethal consequences, however. It is a fact that, contrary to Mr. Venter, blacks and whites are genetically different. One of the genetic differences between the two races shows up in their different susceptibilities to infection by the human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV, the virus which causes AIDS. If blacks and whites are given equal exposure to the virus, blacks are much more likely to become infected by it. Beyond this genetically based difference in susceptibilities, behavioral differences between blacks and whites result in blacks getting much more exposure to HIV. Blacks are much more promiscuous in their sexual behavior, for example, with many more sexual partners on the average than whites. Blacks have a much greater rate of infection by other sexually transmitted diseases, such as gonorrhea, for example, and are less likely to seek treatment for these diseases, and the lesions from these diseases greatly increase the likelihood that HIV will be transferred during sexual activity. Finally, blacks are less likely to use condoms and are more likely to be intravenous drug abusers than whites. All of these behavioral differences lead to a greater incidence of HIV infection among blacks than whites. Of course, to a very substantial degree, these behavioral differences leading to greater exposure also are genetically based, just as is the difference in susceptibility to infection. Anyway, whether due to genes or behavior, the fact is that blacks have a much greater incidence of HIV infection than whites do. That, however, is what might be called a politically inconvenient fact. There are times when the liberals and the Jewish media want to use the fact to persuade us to provide more AIDS relief to Africa, where the disease is decimating the black population. But they don't want to talk too much about it in America, lest we start wondering why AIDS is spreading so rapidly among African blacks, and perhaps even start asking questions about American blacks. What the liberals and the Jewish media want us to believe is that there is no substantial difference between whites and blacks where AIDS is concerned, and what difference exists is due to white racism or something of the sort, which is our fault, not theirs. And one of the most important reasons the Jews and the liberals don't want us to think about black and white differences with regard to AIDS is that they don't want to discourage sexual contact between blacks and whites. In fact, the Jewish mass media, from Hollywood to Madison Avenue, are engaged now in a crash program to encourage sexual activity between white women and black males. Every second film coming from Hollywood these days seems to be pairing white actresses with blacks. And the fashion advertisements from Madison Avenue are showing white women together with black men much more suggestively than ever before. It is unfortunate, but our women are very susceptible to such suggestions. They are mindlessly eager to do whatever Hollywood and Madison Avenue convince them is fashionable at the moment, no matter how disgusting or self-destructive. In view of this media campaign encouraging racial mixing, my organization, the National Alliance, has tried to counter it by appealing to the instinct for self-preservation in those white women in which that instinct is able to compete successfully against the instinct to be fashionable. To this end, we have distributed a large number of leaflets and stickers warning white women of the AIDS dangers inherent in sexual contact with blacks. Specifically, our materials warn white women not to have sex with intravenous drug abusers, bisexuals, or blacks, and it informs them that heterosexual black males are 14 times more likely to be infected with HIV than heterosexual white males. Now, the liberals and the Jews don't mind our warning our women not to have sex with intravenous drug abusers or bisexuals, both of whom have a much higher infection rate than the rest of the population. But it drives them into a frenzy of hatred and rage when we warn them not to have sex with blacks. I mean, that's racist, isn't it? The first thing they do is deny that blacks are more likely to be infected with HIV than whites are. And I'm sure that some of the white liberals really believe that. They have tried so hard for so long to convince themselves that blacks are equal to whites that they simply can't cope with any evidence that in fact the two races are intrinsically and irremediably different. What is much more alarming than this liberal inability to deal with reality is the willingness of scientifically and medically knowledgeable people to go along with this denial of reality for the sake of political correctness. 3 months ago, National Alliance members distributed our AIDS warnings on the Austin campus of the University of Texas. The Jews, the liberals, and the blacks reacted as one might expect, writing hysterical letters to the campus newspaper, organizing rallies against racism, and demanding that the university administration do something to stop the National Alliance's activities on the campus. Decades ago, any men with principles or a sense of personal honor or any regard for the truth were purged from the ranks of university administrators, and what's left is a collection of spineless bureaucrats whose main function is to beg for money and to suck up to Jews and other minorities. The president of the University of Texas, Larry Faulkner, is typical. In response to the demands from Jews and other liberals, he issued a statement in which he said of our AIDS warnings, and I quote, "We deplore the hateful and racially intolerant message expressed in these flyers." Later in his statement, he said, and again I quote, "Hateful messages such as those expressed in the flyers should be rejected by all civilized people." End of quote. Well, of course, there is nothing hateful or racially intolerant in our AIDS warnings. There are no racial slurs, no insults. The only thing said about any race in them is that heterosexual black males are 14 times as likely to be infected with HIV as heterosexual white males. That's it. Why is that hateful? President Faulkner will tell you why it's hateful. It's not true that blacks are more likely to be infected with HIV, he'll tell you. Our statement about blacks and HIV is false and is simply intended to prevent loving relationships between white women and black men. Other campus spokesmen reported that they had checked with knowledgeable campus medical personnel and had been told that our statement about blacks and HIV is false. The claim that our statement is false appeared in every news story about our AIDS warning, which was published in the campus newspaper. Not one faculty scientist stepped forward to point out that our statement is essentially correct and errs only by slightly understating the disparity in HIV infection rates between blacks and whites. Not one spoke up. And certainly, there are plenty of them who know the truth. Some of our members distributed a number of our AIDS warnings in Tacoma, Washington last month. And the reaction by local liberals and media people was essentially the same as at the University of Texas. Lots of hand-wringing and moaning about hate. And oh, isn't it awful that we can't shut up the haters so that we can all love each other? And some of the hand-wringers were saying things such as, "The only race is the human race, so how can there be a racial difference in HIV infection rates?" Not very masculine thinking, to be sure, but that's what passes for reason in America these days. Of course, the hand-wringers were able to find a few experts to bolster their claims about AIDS being an equal opportunity disease and our statement about the racial disparity in infection rates being false. These claims were repeated in every newspaper story about our distribution of AIDS warning stickers. The Tacoma Reporter, for example, in its June 29th issue reported, and I quote, "The Center for Disease Control's 1999 statistics show that heterosexual African-American males in the United States are only twice as likely to be infected with the AIDS virus as are heterosexual white males. No surprise to people who understand the lack of education and resources in neighborhoods whose residents are primarily black." End quote. Well, of course, the statistics of the Centers for Disease Control show no such thing, although the Tacoma Reporter apparently found someone working there to tell the liberals what they wanted to hear. The Centers for Disease Control is the government's front line of defense against all of the new exotic pathogens coming to America with the flood of third world immigrants so beloved of the liberals. They have to keep track of and try to cope with everything from HIV to drug-resistant strains of the tuberculosis-causing bacillus to the West Nile virus. And when one race is much more susceptible to a particular pathogen than another race, then that's an important scientific fact the Centers for Disease Control needs to take into account. If they begin putting political correctness ahead of scientific rigor, we're all in real trouble. And it was to the Centers for Disease Control that I myself went 3 years ago for information on the racial disparity in HIV infection rates before preparing our AIDS warning publications. I went there again just a few days ago to see whether or not the data had changed, and it had. The 1999 data show that heterosexual black males are now 15 times as likely as heterosexual white males to be infected with HIV. When I checked in 1997, the number was 14, but the racial disparity is increasing. The infection is spreading more rapidly among blacks than among whites, and the difference is not due to white racism. It's understandable, of course, that liberals don't want to believe that there is such a huge disparity in infection rates between blacks and whites. They don't want to believe such a big number because it implies a real racial difference, a genetically based difference. It undermines their whole egalitarian ideology. Well, liberals are liberals. They are suffering from their own spiritual disease, their own disease of the soul. They've always been sick. What is really alarming now is that their sickness has infected our scientific and academic communities. Information no longer is judged on the basis of whether or not it is true, but rather on the basis of whether or not it is politically correct. That is one of the principal reasons why our civilization is in a state of decline today. By the way, you may be interested in checking with the Centers for Disease Control yourself before they stop posting politically incorrect data. Ask for the HIV/AIDS Surveillance Report, Volume 11, Number 2, for December 1999. You'll find the data broken down by sex, race, and sexual orientation. Thanks for being with me again today.